Hello, this is Joe McGee. Welcome to our podcast. Make sure that you subscribe and please share the podcast with your friends. That is the number one way you can help us reaching people with God's love and healing. We love you guys. Hope you enjoy the podcast. Hey, everybody. Welcome to another Mailbag Monday where Ainge and I take time and answer questions that you've sent in. We've got quite a few to go over today, Ainge, so let's just jump in.
All right, Joe. Let's see. Angel and Joe, I need your help to save my marriage. My wife is a wonderful woman, but I'm hoping that we can stay together and have kids someday and be happy. For some reason, she doesn't understand that every person has their side of the bed. I will come home late sometimes and there's my precious angel sleeping on my side of the bed. I'm pretty easygoing and I've been able to handle most of her habits and tics, but this is a deal breaker. What's your opinion? Can our marriage survive this?
You're going to have to change your side of the bed.
That's the best you got.
That's it. That's God answer. If she's on your side, you take her side and go to sleep.
Or you could do like I've seen some couples do, go back to like the Lucy days and have two separate beds.
No, we don't want to do that. We're unique because we were married for 5 years. So we had our own lifestyle before for years and years and decades. So we got married we sleep together different than we did with our first spouses.
Well, we've actually never talked about that.
We're talking about it right now on the radio.
Well, I dislocated my shoulder when I was younger.
Yes.
And I fell off a horse.
Yes.
And every once in a while, if I sleep on this side, it will really bother me. So I have to sleep on this side.
And I sleep on that side as well. I sleep on my right side. So I'm facing the back of her head or she's facing the back of mine. And it's just, but we sleep real good. We sleep real good. but yeah, you just need to change sides of the bed. You're going to make a war which side of the bed. Can you imagine going to a marriage counselor and they say, what's the problem with your marriage? Well, she's on my side of the bed. That's not going to hold water very well. This is not going to work. So just take the other side and make that your side.
Well, I think sometimes we make mountains out of molehills.
Yes,
when I was in my 20s, I would have had a shout down over something like that. But now that I'm pushing up towards 60.
Oh, praise God. Come on. Bring it on.
Got a little more wisdom and a little more relaxed. So that's at the end of the day, is it worth it?
No, it's not. And it's very serious. It's not worth it. If she's on your side, it's like, well, she ever really thinks your side's her side. Or she likes being close to you. That's why she's on your side.
Which should be a compliment.
It's a compliment. So don't make a moat. Don't make a mountain out of a molehill on this. Don't do that. That's just go to sleep on the side that's open.
And cuddle and be happy.
Well, cuddling's a different thing too. That's all. Because I'm not a cuddler. When I go to sleep, I like to have my own space. So I've had to learn in the last 7 years to cuddle. And I've learned to cuddle real good. I have.
You have. You've done real good.
And so
I'm a big cuddler.
Yeah, and I'm not. So we've compromised.
No, you compromise.
I hope for help because you just need to get on her side of the bed, what you call her side. It's your side. It's your bed. Just pick the side that's open.
Wouldn't it be sad if she wasn't available?
She
wasn't there and you had a lonely bed by yourself.
Yes.
So think of that.
Yes.
And enjoy her. Enjoy your time together.
Yes.
All right. Joe, my daughter has a boyfriend, but is only 16 years old. I would prefer that she waits, but of course she's in love. How do we set boundaries about time spent with her boyfriend without causing her to resent us?
Well, best thing to do would have started when she was 12. I got five daughters. They're all grown out of college and married. But we had a deal at the house, you know, you couldn't date until you were 16. First five dates are at the house. And then, the sixth date is with another couple we pre-approve of. And, you had a double date. You couldn't go out by yourself with somebody else. And, so that's the standard we set. If you have no standard, the kids will set the standard, and that's where you are. And they're going to set the standard. And so you feel put upon to try to set a standard now because you started a little late, but you still can do it. And so you're going to have to keep an open conversation. Don't yell. Don't scream. Don't criticize. Just talk normally. Whatever you're concerned about, just have to bring it up. You know, go at lunch, at dinner, whenever you get eating's a good time to talk to one another. Hey, let's, don't say, hey, we need to talk. Don't open up with that. Just start talking. Hey, how's some things going on with your boyfriend? I said, well, you know, and then you start sticking some thoughts in there. It's what you think's right and not right. And, be normal, not normal, because, nobody at 16 knows nothing. A 16-year-old is the most ignorant individual on the planet. I was 16, thought I knew everything. Thought I was smarter than my parents, smarter than all my teachers, smarter than my coaches, and I was dumb as dirt. And it took some time to figure that out, but I was dumb as dirt. And so you start hitting that age where, you know, you're smarter than everybody else, and you're not. And just the fact that you think that shows how dumb you are that you think that. So don't let them set the standard. A 16-year-old should be setting any standard because they don't know yet. And it's because you love them enough. Because I love you so much, I'm going to set the standard because I want you to be a successful adult. I want you to get out of my house, get married, move out, and stay moved out. I don't want you to get out, get divorced, move back in, because that happens with so many people we know today. Wow, you got married too early. You got married on the rebound. You got married because you thought you were in love. You don't know what love. Love's the most expensive four-letter word in the universe. You tell somebody I love you, get out your checkbook, your 401k, your hunting dog, your basketball, your riding wheel, your pickup truck, pile all that on the table, and then say I love you. Because love's not cost you something, it's not love. I told my kids all life, if love's not cost you something, it's not love. It's a fantasy.
Having worked with teenagers for most of my adult life, this is a tricky deal because everybody's got a boyfriend or a girlfriend, you know. So I would set standards such as you have to be home at a certain time. Mm-hmm. I think the double dating is a good option. Yeah. I never let the opposite sex in the bedrooms. Each other's bedrooms.
You don't ever go to the bedroom. No, never, for any reason.
Mm-mm. And so I think those are some basic standards that you can. But, you know, the thing is what I found with that age particularly is typically if you ask them a direct question, they're going to give you a direct answer.
That's true.
And so I would confront kids all the time and would be way much more in their face than most of their parents would be.
Yep.
Because a lot of times parents are uncomfortable with that age. They get intimidated by it and everything. And I remember one time this couple was walking towards me in church and they were holding hands and everything. And I said, hey, how long you guys been dating? And they told me, and I said, have you guys been touching anything in this area? And they said a little bit. You know, and I was like, okay, see, now that's a slippery slope. And that's not a good place to go because you don't go back from that.
Nope.
And so we just started talking and had a really good talk. But what I think is that you should probably be direct and
don't tiptoe around it.
Yeah.
But don't yell and scream. Keep your voice real calm.
Yeah. And, say, these are my expectations. And this is, you know,
sex was meant to be enjoyed by married couples, not non-married couples. That's how God designed it. So you go playing with something the way God did not design it, it's going to stomp you in the dirt. We got so many, because I worked with high school kids for 10 years. She worked much longer than that. You're going to mess up. You go tiptoeing around a creek back, you're going to slide in.
Yeah.
Well, I can stop. No, you can't. The act of sex was not meant to be interrupted. And that's a deep thought. Because we taught on it for years. The act of sex is meant to be completed, not interrupted. We can stop. No, you can't. You're not supposed to stop. The whole purpose,
I've never thought about that, but that
the whole purpose of sex is to be completed. You know, and so don't think you're bigger than God. Don't think you're smarter than God.
Yeah.
God's got a great way to set up to find somebody, fall in love, get married, stay married. But you violate any of those rules, you're going to mess yourself up. You're not bigger than God. You're not smarter than God. Yeah. So don't think you can outthink this thing. You can't. So you just got to be straightforward and don't think they're not doing something. They are. They are. Especially when they're 16. They don't know nothing at 16. They know absolutely nothing, but they think they know everything. So be the adult and don't be afraid of the confrontation. Smile a lot, but get in the middle of it.
And if you set a standard with them, hold to it.
Yeah.
Don't back down.
No.
Because.
Don't compromise.
I'm telling you, teenagers are the best at wearing you out.
Yeah, they are.
And I used to know this kid. If I'd see him coming, I'd just about wave the white flag because he would wear you out. He'd come at it 50 different ways, and I would just finally. But I just learned early on that your no has got to be no, and you've got to hold to it. So whatever you and your husband are.
Listen, Ace and I both have dealt with kids that have messed up, came in. I mean, when a couple came in, they were my school, and they came in and said, can we see Mr. Hughes? Sure, come and sit down. I said, well, we need to talk. Well, what about? And so the girl starts to cry. And so I'm looking at her. She can't talk because she's crying. I look at him. Is there a problem? He says, well, yeah, I think there is. Have y'all had intercourse? Yes, sir, but just one time. I said, son, only takes one. You sow human seed, you reap human crop. And she was pregnant. Great family, great kids, good students, great students. But you weren't supposed to have intercourse before you married. You're going to get pregnant. That's the way it's supposed to happen. It's in health books around the world, you know. And you don't outthink nature. You don't outthink God. And so we said, well, we're going to help you, but your childhood just ended. You're going to have to get out of school. We'll help you finish online, you know, get your degree online. And they're one of the rare times it worked out. They got married. It was rough for 3 or 4 years. He actually finished college and they stayed married.
But they probably had some incredible family support.
Oh, they had great family support. Great, great family support. And so if you don't have that, man, you're on your own and it gets ugly in a hurry. So. Mm-hmm.
And the thing is, let me say this as well. If you have done that and you have made a mistake, it is not the unpardonable sin.
No, it's not the end of the world.
It isn't. And regardless, a child is a gift from God.
Yes, they are.
And you know, talk to your spouse, set a standard, and then hold to it. It would be my recommendation.
Smile a lot. Look, I look forward to you dating. I look forward to you getting married. I look forward to you. Honeymoon, I look forward to all that, but there are landmines on the way. You step on one, you're going to be missing something. You're going to be missing something the rest of your life.
And I will say this: don't be careful how you come across to the young man, because if you push him away, yeah, it will push your child away too.
Yeah.
So you want to embrace and get to know him and
talk to him like you're the parent.
Yeah, exactly.
Hey, we love you. We don't want you to mess up.
Exactly. So,
and if he's not a good kid, it'll expose it much quicker by you being nice. I promise you.
Yeah, it really will. That is true. Joe, my wife and I spent too much on Christmas and now need to financially recover until our kids' birthdays in April. Do you guys set an amount to spend for gifts each year, or does it fluctuate based on your personal financial position?
Ange and I are a little different, so I'll let you start.
No, we need to set a budget.
Because I got the bigger family, we just set a standard. When the kids are young, you know, when I mean young, like under 12 young, you might get 4 or 5 gifts. 3 of them are going to be cheap. 2 of them might have some substance to them. You know, you might get your Barbie doll and then a couple little dresses to put on it or whatever. Might get a bicycle and an extra banana seat to go with it, you know. But as they got older, I said, listen, we're getting older, we're getting more mature. So 1 gift per person. So we draw names, whose names you get. And so you'd set them out. So it varies depending on the family, how much money. Might be $10, might be $50. This might be $100, but you can't spend more than that. You cannot spend more than that. Get them something. You can't spend more. So you got Bitterbob's name. You get 1 gift for Christmas. You're the gift giver for that individual. So at Christmas time, everybody open 1 gift. It was really a lot of fun. You're excited. Wonder what one gift I got. Because you told everybody what you wanted. It's not going to be a piece of junk. It's going to be something that you wanted. Is it the thing you wanted? So everybody knew the price range. And so it taught them a lot of lessons. So that turned out really good. We did that forever.
But when I was a single mother, you know, I was on a much different income plane. And one year we was really lean. And we got up that year and we drove to the beach and watched the sunrise.
Great story.
And then went and had breakfast together. And it was one of the most special, memorable Christmases we ever had.
Yeah.
Because it really made us all very aware of what we were really celebrating and why. And so we didn't get, you know, sidetracked by the gifts.
And Asia and I both have great stories of our kids maturing and realizing, hey, this is just a goofy thing to do anyhow. We're going to do something special. I want to make something. I'm going to do something special next Christmas. We're not just going to buy 50 gifts for everybody and just get out of hand, because you end up like this. We go everybody till April, you know, trying to get your head out of the dirt. And it's like, it's not fun. Yeah. It's not worth it.
No, it's not.
So,
well, we sure love you guys. And we thank you so much for taking the time to spend with us. And we pray that you have a wonderful week with your families.
Yes.
And your friends. And join us again next week.
Thank you, guys. Be sure to join us Monday, Wednesday, and Friday to hear more of what God can do in your life. It's got a great future for you and your family. We're here to help you get there. Please make sure you visit Joe McGee Ministries on Facebook, YouTube, and Instagram. There you find all of our Friday funny videos and other encouraging resources for you and your family. While you're at it, be sure to visit joemcgee.com. We have all sorts of materials, books, DVDs, you name it, all there to help you, your marriage, and your family succeed.